Leading Ideas Talks is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly newsletter at www.churchleadership.com/leading ideas. What can church look like in your neighborhood? In this episode, Lewis Center Associate Director Ann Michael speaks with Bishop Ken Carter and Reverend Audrey Warren about their book, Fresh Expressions. They discuss the promise of new, non-traditional expressions of church that meet people where they are.
So I'm Ann Michael of the Lewis Center staff. I'm editor of Leading Ideas e-newsletter, and I'm here today with Bishop Kenneth Carter, who's the bishop of the Florida Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, and also with Reverend Audrey Warren, who's the senior pastor of First UMC in Miami. And they are authors of the book Fresh Expressions, A New Kind of Methodist Church for People Not in Church. So I'm so delighted to be able to talk with them about this book today. And I wanted to begin by asking you, I think many people are probably unfamiliar with the term fresh expressions. Can you begin by explaining what a fresh expression is?
This is Ken Carter, and we're grateful to be having this conversation. Fresh Expressions was a movement that began in the church in England, the Church of England and the British Methodist Church, about 25 years ago now. This was a country undergoing a dramatic shift, decline in church participation, and hearing from persons that they were simply not going to connect with existing churches or be in church buildings or find themselves in church buildings. So the idea is how to create expressions of Christianity in the culture. And that's really how the movement began.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Warren, I know you've done some work on the ground with this. Could you perhaps give some examples of how fresh expressions have manifested themselves in your ministry area?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, there's kind of two examples. When I was a pastor in Florida City, which is an urban suburb of Miami, there was a thought about reaching persons who might never make it to the church. And through different relationships, we learned of a group of people who are day laborers who wait by the hundreds for jobs every day, many of them who don't find jobs. And so we thought, well, I wonder what it would mean just to get to know this community. And so we would go out there every Monday morning with coffee and just kind of get to know the people there. And one of our lay persons just began very moved, I think inspired by the Holy Spirit, to really take over the ministry. And so within a few months of him being out there every Monday, providing coffee, talking to people, they started calling him pastor, just without any kind of sign that we were from a church or anything. And so it was really sweet over time how people identified him as pastor. And then we started with a prayer box and really developed quite a community there. I don't think that particular fresh expression would manifest possibly to like a full-blown worship service as we know it today. But I think it is serving as a little community amongst people who work on Sundays and might not make it to church. And so it really has become kind of a sanctuary for them in the middle of the street. And then also here at First Downtown, we've been able to start Yoga Chapel. And started out on Wednesdays at noon. We're next to a college, and one of our members, who's our soloist, loves yoga as well. And so he started to come and really became a person of peace and a bridge builder with the college, and started inviting some of his friends, many of whom are second generation immigrants to the United States. They grew up Catholic. They are very spiritual and even maybe superstitious, but do not go to church and will probably never go to a church on a Sunday morning at 11 because they're not up at that time, or maybe they're working at that time. And so many of them have started coming to Yoga Chapel. And so we have about 24 people who come pretty regularly. And again, it's been interesting over time how they've come to see me as their pastor, how Fresh Expressions and Yoga Chapel reading scripture at the beginning of class, has spurred questions and conversations and breakout groups. And so I think little by little that as well is becoming kind of their own church.
Mm-hmm. So let me just see if I can pull some of the key points out of those examples you gave me. So the first example with the day laborers, this is a ministry that's going on totally outside of the doors of your church. Is that a typical characteristic of Fresh Expressions?
Yeah, and generally we like to say, like in the Florida Conference, that we're catalyzing Fresh Expressions of church with new people and new places and in new ways. And so I think that a new place is definitely an option at Yoga Chapel in downtown. It depends kind of on where you are and your context, but people come to churches for various different things and maybe a downtown setting because space is so limited. Maybe like in DC where you're at, people aren't as afraid to walk into a church building. And most of the time they probably walk into them for some other reason than church these days because churches in downtown rent their space so often. And so where we are here downtown, people don't mind going into a new space, but maybe in a suburban area or rural, people might still have a little bit of fear of coming through the door. So yeah, I think new places is a characteristic. New people is probably the biggest one. We're not simply wanting to kind of, you know, steal sheep from other churches or get people out of their church environment. But really, we are looking to reach new people. And then also new ways. So worship looks different. And the way we do church will ultimately be different in some ways than the traditional church.
And in both of these examples, you're reaching out to an existing either community or affinity interest. So you're really looking for some kind of connection or something that's already bringing people together that you can build off of, right?
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. That might be health. It might be work. Yeah.
And is your goal then to bring these people into your traditional faith community, or is your ultimate goal something other than that?
Yeah, I think I think it would be an impossible goal for some because our First Church Miami, our worship time is 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And I think we know pretty clearly that people, like I said, are working or that might not be the preferred time that they would want to worship. Or even if they're there, it might not be something they connect with. So our goal isn't to bring them to the church, our goal, or to the 11 o'clock service or the 8:30 service. Our goal really is to help them have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's our main goal, to find a relationship with Jesus Christ, to find a faith community to practice that relationship within, and to connect with God. And so I think that in Fresh Expressions, we understand that there's kind of a dual ecology. People will go back and forth. One day someone might have a child in Yoga Chapel and say, I really want them to learn about Jesus. And so do you have something for children? Yoga Chapel probably won't have a children's Yoga Chapel service anytime soon, but we do have things for children to learn about Jesus at First United Methodist. So we do think that there are possibilities for bridges between Fresh Expression churches or Fresh Expressions of Faith and the more institutional church.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Carter, can I ask you what you see as some of the factors that have given rise to this movement?
Well, I think a first factor is simply the distinction between attractional church and missional church. Mm-hmm. Attractional church is based on the idea that we will attract people to the church in a variety of ways, and over time we will change the equation from whatever attracted them there, could be entertainment, could be felt need, to discipleship. And that presupposes that people will come toward us. Missional church is more the idea that we are willing to engage people where they are. And Fresh Expressions has a term, third places, that it borrows from sociology, that we want to meet people in the context where they live their lives. And in a church culture, the first two places were home and work, and they still are. The third place in a church culture was a church. Church was the place people went to form relationships, to play sports, to meet business prospective business partners, colleagues, et cetera. But we increasingly do not live in a church culture. And so the third places, the places where people gather, are places like coffee shops, digital culture, sporting context. Audrey mentioned yoga, pubs. And so Florida has about 75 fresh expressions of church alongside its existing churches. And another concept in fresh expressions is mixed economy of church. So it's both and. So we know that there are going to be traditional churches for a very long time. Elaine Heath calls these anchor churches. And so it's not an either or. We're not disparaging the traditional church. We're simply saying that to reach new people in new places, as Audrey is talking about, we need to create fresh expressions of church in these third places. And they can coexist alongside each other, and very creative clergy or laity can serve in both. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I love about Fresh Expressions, that it's a both and.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about churches taking their ministry to where people are, or at least building relationships where people already are, rather than waiting for them to come in the doors of the church, to put it simply.
It does. And, you know, one there, in the definition of Fresh Expressions, it talks about Fresh Expressions come into being through principles of listening, service, incarnational mission, and making disciples. And I think the listening piece, really getting on other people's turf. A year or so ago, I wrote something for Huffington Post called The End of the Home Field Advantage. And part of that was how different it is in a sport when you're playing on your own home field as when you're playing on the other team's turf or field. And the church increasingly, and this is not a lament or anything like that, but we just need to recognize that we cannot expect people to continue to come on our own home turf, which is the parlor of a church or the sanctuary of a church, that we miss a great number of people. And some of these people are simply not, they've just never thought about going into a church. It's just not a part of their experience. And then some people have had very harmful experiences in churches. They've experienced harm through misconduct of clergy or through bad teaching, and they simply are not going to, they can't take that risk of going into the church building where they've experienced some kind of harm. And Fresh, as you say, and Fresh Expressions really is about trying to create a conversation that begins really with listening and service and being present incarnationally with people where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for explaining that. I know from reading your book that this is a paradigm that really emerged as an alternative approach to church planting. And I know a lot of church planters, and I know how much incredible work and dedication and how many resources it takes to plant a new faith community. So I guess I'm asking, if I'm a member or a pastor of any church USA that has relatively limited resources and bandwidth, where do they find the leadership and the resources to begin and sustain something like this?
Well, if I could start, and then maybe Audrey could continue because she practices this. I think if a layperson or a pastor can begin to think about their own natural passions and interests and relationships. So with Audrey, she had a natural connection to day laborers, and she knew them, and her husband knew them. And then she practices yoga. So it was very natural for her to take her faith and to help develop community in those places. And often I think it's the laity and the clergy being more creative about what they really love to do outside of church and outside of work. You know, whether that's sports, whether it's the arts, whether it's just hanging out in conversation in a pub or a coffee shop, the place they often go, and it's connecting that to their faith. What would you say, Audrey?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that first, Fresh Expressions, definitely, I wouldn't say is an alternative to new church development. I think it's one way, and even in the Florida Conference, our director of new church development is asking that new church plants or parachute plants actually develop fresh expressions within their first 2 years. So they actually work kind of simultaneously in some ways. So I would say that first. I think second, it's important not to see fresh expressions as maybe like another program that the church has to do to stay alive. And so when we think about it in that way, it does become quite heavy, right? Because it's like, oh, now we have to start a fresh expression, you know?
Right.
And do we have the resources and do we have the lay people? So I think that Bishop Carter's statement about it being something that kind of naturally flows through what you're passionate about. And definitely in fresh expressions, we part of the listening not only comes to listening to the community, but listening to the Holy Spirit. And so we would hope that nobody would feel pushed to start a fresh expression, that it might come organically and naturally out of kind of what you're passionate about and what the Holy Spirit might be calling you towards. I would say that Yoga Chapel, we've taken a break for the summer and I deeply miss it. So it's not just another program that I do, but it actually gives me life and it gives the church life. And so I think that, and that's just something that's come naturally out of who I am and what connects me to God. And so it makes me kind of the right person in this setting to be able to connect that to others. And there's, again, like, a God thing that our soloist at our church is also someone who loves yoga and is also someone who goes to the school right next door to the church and is able to be that person of peace. So I would say that, yeah, I think it grows out of conversation and listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to the community, seeing where those synergies are and collaborating. I think that in terms of financial resources, fresh expressions intrinsically do not cost anything. So the only thing that Yoga Chapel cost FUMC is my time. People bring their own mats. There's a room. The room's already air conditioned with cafe and La Calle. It cost coffee and time. And so I think people will realize that that really the resources are there. First, because Fresh Expressions is kind of a low risk, possibly high gain. financially, and then also kind of with our time and people resources, I think that it's actually enriched and grown someone's faith throughout this. That's definitely been the case for Yoga Chapel and for Cafe and La Calle. The laity who kind of first get into it because they're like, okay, this is possibly what could happen, their faith is grown and enriched through being in service with other people and exploring something new. I think there's a lot of excitement and growth, and even kind of the term Fresh Expressions U.S. uses pioneers. And so it's kind of an adventure pioneering with God.
So I'm sensing then that a first step may be for our congregation to really spend some time in discernment around where passions exist within their own leaders, where opportunities exist within their own community. And I know that your book is helpfully laid out to provide some good resources, Bible studies and discussion questions and so forth for a congregation that wanted to begin that inquiry. Is that how churches are walking down this path?
I'll begin with that. First, I think, you know, we wrote the book together, and it was in part reflection on just some of the dynamics, the discernment that go into what's happening in my local church. What about the people we're missing? How is my community changing? How are we missing sometimes people in generations? And then how is our culture changing? And then Audrey Warren was doing her doctoral work at Wesley Seminary and integrating this with Bible study and with small group work. And, of course, she was a practitioner of this. She was one of our conveners from the very beginning. And so I really do think the book, it sort of helps people through the basic logic of Fresh Expressions. And it doesn't have to be called that as a brand. In fact, most Fresh Expressions are not called that on the ground. But it really helps people to begin to understand that and to begin to see their community in a new way. One of the powerful things is the networks people are a part of, how people are drawn together through networks. And so I think we envision this as a very user-friendly way that maybe a pastor who wants more to happen in their own life or in their local community, but to find those two or three people who kind of have a hunger for this, and to move beyond the sort of the criticism of what is to the creation of something new alongside what is existing. And I think that's our hope for the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that I think a lot of my friends who are younger clergy, some of them have grown up in churches that have kind of pushed the missional edge and intrinsically kind of see church now as fresh expressions in some ways. And so, and they want to bring church to their friends. And I think many of them know that the way to do that is through a fresh expression sort of ministry, because that's what they want for themselves. But the hard part is that although they might want that, maybe the churches that they serve don't quite understand it. And have only known church a certain way. And so what I found oftentimes is I'll have friends or even catch myself talking in this certain language, and possibly the rest of the congregation doesn't have that same vocabulary list and hasn't kind of traveled this journey. And so for me, I think a wonderful gift, even in my local church right now, is to begin to have a common language. And I'm hoping that this will also provide a common language for a local church to be able to come on board with the pastor, or maybe even the pastor with the laity, about what the future might hold for a church and a community. So I think that's really a great gift, as it becomes within itself a bridge piece for clergy and laity to talk together about what God's future might be for them.
You know, that leads me to what I wanted to ask about next, and that is how spiritual formation, how faith community actually occurs in these kind of contexts. I mean, it's one thing to start a yoga group. It's one thing to take coffee out to day laborers. It's another thing for that to evolve into an actual faith community. And I think we haven't done a good job of teaching people in our tradition about how to be relational evangelists, about how to share faith, how to nurture discipleship growth in non-traditional settings. Is there a playbook for people as they try to move these groups to be venues for helping people meet Jesus Christ?
Well, I do think the definition, the vision of Fresh Expressions, which was a part of what drew this to me, is that it is about making disciples by definition. And so it's not about simply relationships that never step into those waters. On the other hand, it is not, the premise of this is not we'll develop a fresh expression. Someday it will become a traditional church,
right.
as if one of those is better than the other mm-hmm. one. And I do think that the book does include in it material that connects the Fresh Expressions movement with our Methodist origins and the class meetings, the band meetings, where people talked about, you know, how is it with my soul?
Right.
You know, and I think at their best, Fresh Expressions are real places where people can talk about how it is with their soul. The early Methodists did not have curriculum, you know, as they were trying to be disciples. They simply had each other, and they had a vulnerability and an honesty and a willingness to listen, to watch over one another in love. And I do think, you know, we are in the process of, you know, of trying to re-engage the culture with Christianity, and there are many stereotypes about church and Christianity, and that's some of what we're working with. It's not a blank slate, but I do think that it can be a way of making disciples which really is helping people to know who Jesus is and to follow him and to meet a person who gets to know them in the place where they live their lives. And so I think it is relational evangelism. And again, we're reinterpreting what evangelism means, but it can be that.
Well, that actually helped puts it in a useful context for me, because I think my question almost assumed that the way that we make disciples within the walls of our church is effective, and it's probably not anymore. And right. So the idea that, you know, we would want to replicate the way that we're doing it in our traditional models is no. I mean, you're really suggesting reclaiming something that's far more biblical, far more authentic, mm-hmm. far more organic to who we are. Well, let me wrap this up by asking both of you, what's your hope or your vision for where you see this leading? Your book really talks about this in terms of the Methodist Church, and what do you hope to see as this movement continues to unfold?
Audrey, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think that for kind of both the book and the movement, I think I would love to see just continued permission giving for people to explore new ways to reach people, to be even more incarnational in the world. At First Church right now, we are actually going through this whole redevelopment process and we'll need a new home. And so we're looking for office space. And so even this morning, myself and our new minister of outreach and evangelism went to WeWork and talked with them for a few hours and took a tour. And within 30 minutes, we're like, this is where our new offices need to be. And actually, we're starting a new worship service outside of the walls. And we're like, yeah, we're going to have our worship service in WeWork because you can actually rent there. And so I think just being able to, you know, that's where people are. And to be able to be incarnational there, you know, we told the folks we're not here to proselytize, but we might give you an added benefit to have like pastors in the building for all these people here working. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, that's kind of what energizes me. And I hope folks can go and just have permission to be more incarnational in their communities and be surprised by the Holy Spirit. I think more and more people don't want things to be so complicated. That's what we talked about this last Sunday in the inspiration class. Even the folks there that were 85 said, we've made this whole thing so complicated. We have to have this building and we have to have this Bible study and we have to have everyone go through all the four discipleships, you know, and we've just made this so complicated. And when you look at millennial generations, more and more becoming minimalist, more and more want smaller homes so they could experience more. And I think what a beautiful thing to lead people forward in faith. That's not so much about what you know and what you can learn first, but kind of how you experience and live out your faith. So it doesn't need all of these barriers. So I think one thing that I'd love to see is for us to learn again that less is more, and that God can do incredible things even with our small mustard seed of faith. I think there's so many things that could happen within the local church.
And I would add, and I very much appreciate my colleague Audrey working on this together, both in terms of the movement and the book. I would say it appears that in the United Methodist Church, and you know, speaking of the United States, that we are. We have many church buildings that are underused. We have fewer people in many of these buildings. They have difficulty maintaining these buildings. They once were thriving, but many of the churches are not. We have many that are. And my hope would be that in 10, 15 years, we have fewer local churches that meet in buildings. But maybe we have the same number of Fresh Expressions that meet in communities. And so a part of the Methodist brand is, oh, they're the people that are over there at the corner of First and Main, but they also meet in the Starbucks And they meet on the soccer field, and they meet with the day laborers, and they meet in the co-working space, and they're making disciples there. And it's more about an investment in people, and that we almost see these people as missionaries in the sense that they're translating the gospel into a changing culture. And if we could do this, I think we would be a great blessing to our community. If we could rediscover how to be disciples, I think we could reinvent ourselves and become more like we were in the 18th century, where we're a movement of small groups, and then we develop worship out of that. And to me, that would be a fresh expression of church.
Mm. Well, that's a really inspiring vision. Here at the Lewis Center, we spend a lot of time just kind of surveying trends of what we see going on in the church, and I have this sort of meta sense that all the creative work that's being done in evangelism these days really is in the vein of taking church to the community, and there really is a new old paradigm of evangelism that is become current again. And I think you have exactly described how this is a way of reclaiming vitality and reclaiming our traditions. It's really exciting. Let me just ask one final question, and I know that you've put a lot of emphasis on this in your state of Florida. Are you seeing fruit? Are there some other interesting examples of ministry that are going on in your area?
Yeah, I can start. So we have over 75 fresh expressions really within kind of 2.5 years. And it's, I think, one of the greatest joys for me now that we've been working on this for a while. I go to annual conference and people kind of know me as the fresh expression person. And so all the time people are coming up to me and saying, you'll never believe this fresh expression we've started. And so now it's kind of like, we know that there's a lot more than 75 because people are just doing it. They don't feel a need to report. So we've had to create this app for people to start reporting, which has been great. But this year at annual conference, a man came up to me and he said, I need to tell you about my fresh expression. And he got out all these wooden cars. And I'm like, oh, word, what is this going to be? This sounds very kooky, right? But he gets out these cars and they're these beautiful little wooden cars. And he said, you know, I have this woodworking shop. I'm retired. And I opened up my shop for other people to come and make these toy cars. And we actually give them away to the police department to give to kids when they go to their homes when there's been a domestic violence abuse. And he said, so now we meet 2 times a week. There's over 20 men that come together, and we let them know that every day we break for coffee after 2 hours of work, and we share prayer requests, and we pray for one another, and sometimes I even read scripture. And he said the majority of the men who are there have not been to church in years. And so it just gives me chills every time I think about it, because here he is, this missionary of a church, opening up his church. And really, it's, you know, when we think about kind of bringing people into the faith, oftentimes we think about the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to, you know, serve them. But Fresh Expressions in some way is turning that model all around, because these folks, these men, came to serve other people first. So now this Fresh Expressions is missional, it's spiritual, it's gathering new people in a new place. And so I just love the image of kind of this woodworking shop being a church. Mm. And so it was missional from the beginning, and just thinking about also men, who a lot of our churches don't have many men these days. And finding a place for them to gather, to serve, to study scripture, to pray for one another. It's just a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really inspiring testimony. It really is my hope and my prayer that your book and the work that you're doing there will be an inspiration to lots of other people to come up with those kind of ideas. I'm grateful to both of you for the work that you're doing and for the ways that you're sharing it with others through your book, and for your time and talking with us today. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, Anne.
And I wish you all the best with this. It's really an amazing undertaking that you're doing, and that the Holy Spirit is doing in our church and in our world. So thank you so very, very much.
Leading Ideas Talks has been brought to you by the Reach New Disciples Video Toolkit. Explore strategies your congregation can use to reach beyond its walls with worship, community events, ministries, and service. Reach New Disciples Video Toolkit is available on download and DVD at churchleadership.com/shop. Save 20% through January 31st with coupon code TALKS. That's T-A-L-K-S. In the next episode of Leading Ideas Talks, Lewis Center Director Douglas Poe speaks with thought leader Reverend Jasmine Smothers about insights for doing effective ministry outside of one's native culture.
Atlanta First is actually Wesley's Chapel in Gone with the Wind. It's the first Protestant church in Atlanta, and it has seen many, many, many years of different ways of being a ministry in the city. It's a church that has primarily in its history been an Anglo congregation, and it has been a very elite congregation. And over the past 30, 40 years, it's undergone a great deal of transition, very much like our city has.
Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe free to Leading Ideas at churchleadership.com/leadingideas.